Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, CICS on System Z. Turn insight into action with CICS business events. Today's teleconference will be recorded and will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll hear an overview of event processing in general and an introduction to emission of events from CICS without any change to your applications. The speaker for today's teleconference is Mark Cocker, CICS Technical Strategy and Planning. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our speaker, Mark Cocker.
Thanks. And welcome to the Turn Insight into Action with KICS Business Events session. Today, on page 3, just to introduce the topics we're going to talk about, first of all, we're going to talk about the introduction to event processing. This will help to just understand how event processing can be viewed from a transaction point of view and why it's useful to the KICS customers in general. Then we'll move on to talk about KICS as a source of events. So why is it important that KICS applications can produce events and how they can be processed in other environments. We'll talk about an example workflow of who would typically be involved in producing an event and how that gets developed, deployed into a KICS application environment. And then we'll talk in a bit more detail about event processing with KICS, specifically about how to create specifications and how KICS processes the capturing of those events, and then scheduling those events to run with adapters who are responsible for then formatting the events and sending them to consumers of events. An intrinsic part of the event processing support in KICS is the event binding editor, and it's in here that a developer will actually describe what event points he's interested in, what filters he wants applied, and then which adapters are going to handle those events. And then we'll talk about some customization possibilities about how you can configure the KICS runtime to produce certain types of events. And then we'll just talk about a summary of this set of topics. So moving on to slide 5, we're first of all going to talk about really the introduction of event processing and what is the business value of events specifically to a transaction processing environment. So just before I move on, just to let you know that I do have some notes. So most of these pages do actually describe in note form some more details than I will have time to talk about today. So I will announce the page numbers as we progress. Okay, so on page 6 then, entitled What is an Event? So an event is really anything that happens. Usually has a name and some data associated with it that's of interest to whoever's going to consume the event. So there, for example, it may be a certain customer number or a certain policy number, or maybe some details that's going to be interesting for the processing of that event. Events then are produced and responded to asynchronously. And by this, we mean that KICS as an event emitter is going to be sending events, and once the event has been raised in the KICS environment, its emission from the KICS system is asynchronous then to the consuming of the of those events. So that allows transactions to be processed in a very fast and efficient manner and raise events, and then the consuming of those events happens in an asynchronous manner. then there's two primary groups of events. One is a simple event, and by this it's really a single event that is meaningful in itself. So this could be, for example, where a customer updates their policy information. So the fact that the update has happened is the single event and is meaningful. Complex events, on the other hand, is really where patterns of events can be monitored for. So maybe a number of single events, if they occur within a certain time frame, for example, is really the processing of that is talked about in terms of complex event processing. So a complex event processor will monitor for several events, maybe based over a certain time, and then may raise a new event which contains a number of pieces of information from those single events. So business event processing is really where the focus of the KICS support is. And by this we mean that KICS is processing business applications and business data and making business decisions. So the events that would typically be of interest that can be monitored in a KICS environment are therefore focused on business transactions, not necessarily system events, where a system event could be an application just installed, it could be a failure in the system, it could be certain tracing or logging, so that would be considered a system event. Here the focus of the KICS support is on business events. So moving on to page 8. Why is event processing important and why now? Well, event processing is nothing new. Our customers have been creating messages typically in a publish-subscribe sort of model for events for a number of years. And also the systems management area has been using events to monitor systems closely for many, many years. So events in themselves are not new. So what the effort is here is to focus on business value and look at how event processing can decrease the latency in discovering the fact that things happen within business applications, and then try to apply some additional business insight via, for example, dashboards or other complex event processing engines. So this is really about how we can gain insight into business applications to look at how business decisions are made and perhaps look at how they can be made better, and then look at the actual execution, so maybe a sequence of decisions as they are made across the business. So multiple business factors then have really helped event processing to be really accelerated in the KICS environment. One is a requirement for compliance in specifically to regulations. Another is to look at the demand for reducing costs. So how can business processes be better automated and use perhaps less resources from a systems point of view? So to look for inefficiencies in how decisions are made. And also to look at that there are other technologies like RFID which have raised the level of which events can be monitored for in the environment. So although KICS is focused on business applications, there's other technologies which are now allowing businesses to tie together real-world events as well as events in business applications. Okay, so moving on to page 10. So there's really been potentially a gap between line of businesses and the speed and agility at which a business wants to know what's happening and what's relevant within the business applications as they execute, and perhaps the IT environment which has implemented those business applications. And so there's this sort of gap between the agility that the line of business requires and perhaps some changes they wish to make based on observations and the delivery of the business applications themselves. So there's this gap which business events is really trying to help address. So if we move to page 12, so business events then really attempts to try and put some of the power back into the hands of the business users. So what they're looking for typically is they don't want business applications to be changed, so perhaps they don't really want new coding required in business applications, but they really just want to state what sort of business events they're looking to monitor. And then they're looking for certain tooling and dashboards, etc., to help look at and monitor and decide on what actions to take when those events occur. And really from an IT point of view, the idea is to provide a much more flexible infrastructure where applications without any coding changes can be monitored and events be raised from them and let the business people decide on how to process those events and what could be useful information from those events. So if we move to page 14, IBM is investing very heavily in a number of products in the event processing space, most notably in products like WebSphere Process Server and Kix itself, and with WebSphere Business Monitor, WebSphere Business Modeler. So these and the other products listed here are all environments in which events can be raised and processed, and in some cases decisions made and dashboards displayed to business users. But Kix's focus here is on raising events and sending them to other environments for subsequent processing, although there is support in Kix for running new transactions based on events as they are raised. Okay, moving to page 16, just to detail now some of the abilities of Kix to act really as a source of events. So on page 17, Kix Transaction Server version 4.1, which will be generally available at the end of June, is really aimed at helping users in a number of areas. In both competing for new business, in creating a more flexible environment, and innovation where we can get better insight from the existing applications and create a more efficient system for processing business applications. The second area really is in compliance, where new governance regulations and compliance is needed to monitor business decisions, not just the business data, but the actual business decisions, potentially in a short time frame from when the business decision is taken as the application nose and seeing what other things are going on in the business world as to whether the applications are remaining compliant to certain regulations. And this is really the focus of event processing support in that's been introduced in TIX version 4.1 is on the compete side to allow more flexible environments, and on the compliance side to monitor business decisions that they're being made. So on page 19, this is really just introducing some of the business events in the KICS environment. So event processing addresses this need for agility, as we've already discussed, looking at how modern businesses can react more quickly, how business decision makers can be reliably informed in a much more timely manner. So KICS runs today an enormous amount of existing applications. KICS is still very popular in certain industries and processes vast numbers of transactions a day, and a lot of money flows as a result of those applications executing. So by using an event-based approach, the idea is we can gain insight into those KICS applications. We wish to do this in a dynamic fashion and decoupled from the actual application itself. And by this we mean that we don't necessarily want to make application changes and then spend the time and to retest those applications and redeploy them. We want to, in essence, create and deploy specifications of the events that are needed and then install those in a separate manner to the actual applications themselves. So that allows us to install new events and remove events separate to the application. And one of the parts of the requirement here really is to be able to do this without changing any lines of code in the application. So KICS Transaction Server version 4.1 then allows you to emit events from existing applications, and to do this in a way which where these events can be consumed by other environments. In particular, we've done a lot of work to ensure that they work well with WebSphere Business Monitor, WebSphere Business Events, potentially other KICS applications, and also other environments through WebSphere MQ. So moving to page 21, this is really a schematic of the environment we're talking about then. At the top there is a set of development and deployment tools which is really focused on the KICS Explorer. There's some new features in there which allow you to create these events, event specifications, and the bundles that eventually get deployed into the KICS environment. On the left-hand side in the blue box is the existing application, potentially completely unchanged. And as that application executes, KICS, because it has the event specifications installed, it will know when certain situations occur that are being monitored for because of the event specification requirements. And when those events happen, the event processing support will then capture those events. It will potentially filter the events because not all the events may be needed. You can, within the event specification, specify certain filters of data to ensure only interesting events are emitted from the system. So the event processing, after capturing the event, can then filter on that data, decide if it's needed or not. KICS will enrich the information from that event. So it'll, for example, place the user ID, the context of the transaction, etc., into the event information, which could be of usefulness outside in other event processing environments, like WebSphere Business Monitor. KIX is then also responsible for things like formatting and routing the event to the correct place. And on the right-hand side, then, it's really the different environments that can consume the events. As I've mentioned, WebSphere Business Events is a complex processing engine for events, and so that can take the single events and look for correlations and more complex event situations. WebSphere Business Monitor is really designed for creating dashboards and allowing drill down into events that have happened. And there could be other event consumers like KIX applications or WebSphere MQ-based server applications. So moving to page 23, the event solution for KIX then. So KIX can emit events without applications being changed. There's also, we've introduced new, so there are a set of exec KIX calls that we're going to just mention later, which can potentially be monitored for event points. Then events can be triggered when there are sort of predefined conditions, such as, for example, a certain exec KIX command has been executed, or a certain file or program has been called, or you're running under, for example, a certain transaction ID or a certain program name. So there are a set of filtered conditions. The example here may be that an account balance must be less than $100 for this event to be of interest. And so those filters can be placed into the specification, and KIX will then only emit the events that are that meet the filtered conditions. I also mentioned that there's an event binding editor, which is really part of the KIX Explorer, and we'll look at some screenshots just a bit later. So moving on to a few examples, if you move to page 25. I've got three scenarios here. The first is really observing a business process. So this is where we think a lot of customers will start to find a use for event processing. It's really to see which business decisions are being made when, and in essence, acting in an observational mode. So, for example, you may want to have an event raised which when certain orders are requested or dispatched or cancelled. And along with the events, there is contextual information that you may want to capture, for example, the customer number or the order number in this case. And then once this event meets, is sent to and consumed by a dashboard, it can then start to produce pie charts and graphs and tabular data to allow a visualization of these events may be correlated over a certain time or are in certain groupings. So visualizations can then help business people narrow down what is actually perhaps quite difficult data to sift through. So if we move to page 27, the second scenario, this is a non-evasive change to a business processing. So here the idea is that an application can raise an event. Maybe it's a certain a compliance-related event that's been monitored for. And then once that event is raised, for example, there's a situation where a customer account needs to be put on hold because there's some suspicious activity on that account, you could start off a new application which could then take the event information, decide which customer account is involved, and then put a certain block on that account automatically as soon as the event is raised. So this is really extending what may be an existing business application, monitoring it for events, and then doing subsequent processing in Kix or perhaps in another environment. So in essence, extending the business process, but without making any changes to the Kix application. So the third scenario on page 29 is about events, combining different events. So here we may be collecting credit card information, another bank card usage information, maybe from automated teller devices or transactions coming in over the web or debits directly from the bank, from bank tellers. So all the usage of that particular credit card can be combined, looking at the individual events for that credit card, and any unusual patterns of behavior then can be discovered. For example, if a card is used in two different geographies within a short time, that may indicate that the card is being used fraudulently, and certain things may need to happen then, such as the card being stopped, the owner of the card being informed, and queried whether there is in fact some fraudulent use. So that's the third scenario. So if we move to page 31, we're now going to look at workflow for events and to look who is actually involved in creating these event specifications and deploying them. So if we move to page 33, the top blue section is the line of business manager. So this is the person who's really wants to identify certain events within the business processes, certain key decisions that are being made, and so they're going to study what business processes currently go on, identify where which points are interesting. They may not know about Kix applications and program names and transactions, etc., but they will understand about the business process. They don't necessarily understand the implementation within IT of that process. So they will also perhaps want certain pieces of information to be extracted at that event source to be processed later. So if we move to page 35, the application analyst then will understand the IT side of how that business process is implemented, and they will typically know enough about the existing applications or be able to inspect those programs to know that which particular modules are making those particular business decisions. So they will then typically have a conversation then the application developer if it's not them, and they will also, if we look at page 37, need to work with the systems programmer. The systems programmer then will know how Kix can be linked to the event consumer, for example, the WebSphere Business Event or WebSphere Business Monitor systems, those together, the application analyst and the systems programmer can complete the information that is needed within the event binding editor, which is part of the KIX Explorer, to create the event specification to actually be deployed into the KIX environment. So if we look at page 39, the line of business manager then will typically want to then specify what he wants to do with the event, and that will likely involve either using a dashboard directly, so he may configure a dashboard to process the events that are going to be consumed and to produce certain kinds of graphs or bar charts, or they may start to define certain actions that need to happen maybe in other systems once these events are raised. So if we look at page 41, that's really just saying that the line of business manager may want to configure the dashboard in a certain way, and maybe other business managers can use that data then as well after it's been gathered. So moving on to page 43, the event specifications in KIX. So on page 45, this is really a schematic of how the event specification is the different parts and pieces of it. So one is one part of it describes what business event name you want to give this. That's used as the event is emitted from KIX. It's supplied with this business event name. A description which helps just to, if you have several of these event specifications, to help document what this event is going to be useful for, and what sort of business information should be omitted from the event, so things like the customer name or policy number. Another section then is about how this event is going to be captured. There could be a number of these capture specifications, so each capture specification is related to the business event that's going to be emitted, and then it starts to detail things like what capture points. Maybe a capture point would be a certain exec KIX command or the initiation of a certain KIX program, for example. What sort of filters or predicates are needed just to make sure that this is an event of interest, because we don't want to send out events if they're not going to be of interest to the business people. And then other information about where the data can be captured. So for example, if it's going to be captured at an ExecKix link, the information source may describe a certain container or the COM area which is going to be useful to extract data from. So the other piece is in the event binding, and here is the event binding itself relates the event specifications and the capture specifications, and then there's additional information in here about the adapters and how they should be configured to emit this event. So the adapter configuration may be to emit this event over WebSphere MQ, for example, and specify the formatting of the event to be a certain format that's understood by, for example, WebSphere Business Events. So moving to page 47, this is just an example of how an event specification, the sort of requirements that you would need from an event specification. So this is really just summarizing the sorts of information that within this event specification. So on page 49, we talk about the event bindings. So the event specification itself is in XML, and it, as I said, it relates how kicks can monitor for events, and then how they can be emitted from the kick system. And you can have several of these events specified within an event specification. And I've also mentioned here that you can actually have multiple capture points for one business event as well. So you can combine these things in a number of different ways. Typically, you would have one business event or one event within one event specification, but there may be more than one capture point, which is of interest for this particular event. So on page 51, the events then are deployed into kicks in what we call an event binding, and this is really a file that is part of what we refer to as a kicks bundle. So a kicks bundle is a new mechanism at kicks 4.1 of packaging and deploy packaging and managing the deployment of various artifacts, one of which is in fact these event bindings. In the future, Kix bundles will be able to manage other Kix resources and artifacts, but certainly as far as event processing is concerned, once you've created an event binding, it's placed into a bundle, and then it is the bundle that then is installed into the Kix environment. And you can have more than one event binding in one bundle if you wish. But the event bundles are created on a file system, typically on a workstation using the Kix Explorer, and then exported to the file system on the mainframe environment, the ZFS. Then that location is defined to the Kix environment using a resource, a bundle resource, and then when you install the resource, Kix then goes out to the file system, retrieves the bundle file. It then knows what's inside the bundle file, which may be one or more events, for example, and then it'll install those events. So moving to page 53, we're going to talk about now the capturing process that Kix goes through for events. So on page 55, there's really two means of capturing events. One is through a non-invasive mechanism that we've talked about with the event specifications, where the capture points are potentially the initiation of a Kix program or a certain Kix API commands that Kix can automatically monitor. So within the event specification, you're saying in a declarative fashion, when this API command is executed and these filters are applied, then no matter which program, although you can actually put the program name as a filter as well, it could be generic to several programs. When that situation occurs, then that's of interest. So that is non-invasive because you're not changing the application to monitor for those situations. Another mechanism is to use an explicit API command that we've introduced called execkick signal event. And in this scenario, you can actually give the event a name, and you can supply data using the API You can say when there is an event of this name, then you know it should be certain filters and an adapter should be configured in a certain way. So by using an explicit API, your program can declare certain situations that are of interest rather than in a non-invasive way looking for certain API commands that the application uses. So both have their uses. Non-invasive means you don't have to change the program and you can get events. The Executive Signal Events API means the program can be constructive to declare the events that are of interest and then be perhaps more precise within the program code, you know, where the events should be monitored for and potentially processed. So moving to page 59, there is a set of Executix commands listed here that can be used in 4.1 to monitor for event situations. So there are things like channel commands when you do a put channel or a start specifying a channel name, when you do file control, interval control, program control, etc. When you execute those commands, Kix can monitor those and non-invasively then monitor for those events and send them out. So moving to page 61, filterable and catchable data. This is really just laying out some of the application context information that you can apply filters or capture data on. So for example, you can filter on a certain transaction ID or the current program name that's been that the command is being executed within, or certain user IDs. You can capture things like the units of work ID, the network Apple ID and qualifier of the Kix region, time and date, etc. So Kix captures those automatically and they can be emitted automatically with the event. And then you can optionally capture other information like the transaction ID, the current program, user ID, etc. So application commands and options on those commands could also be captured based on information, for example, in the EIV information or perhaps the cursor position for math commands can actually be can be placed into the outbound event information. So if it's important to know which aid key was pressed when a user is at a certain screen, and that is of a particular importance because it means that perhaps a certain situation has occurred, then you can capture that EIV information related to which key was pressed and send that out with the event. And for things like links, you can capture other information like the channel names, etc. So to move on to page 65, we talk about the event processing adapters. This is really a schematic of how the adapters can be called. So on the left-hand side, we have the existing application being executed and a capture point being monitored for. And when that occurs, there's the event is then goes through what we refer to as a dispatcher. So the event is captured and it's placed on the queue within the event dispatcher. This now can happen asynchronously, so the application can now continue once the event has been captured and placed on the queue, so the application continues executing, and then the event dispatcher is then responsible for taking items off the event capture queue and calling one of the event dispatchers, sorry, one of the adapters to process that specific event. And in this case, there are various adapters shown here, so only one of these adapters will be called. So maybe, for example, the RiftCRMQ adapter is called, and it's configured to format this particular event under WBE format, and once it's been formatted, it's placed onto an MQ queue and sent to the WebSphere business event environment for processing. So the event dispatcher is really responsible for taking events as they occur, placing them on a queue, and then at the appropriate time, it will then invoke the correct adapter, whichever one is being configured for this particular event, and that adapter will be passed information such that it knows how to format and then emit the event to other environments. So I'm going to go ahead to the page 69, where we talk about event transactionality. So there's a couple of options here. If you wish to ensure that the transaction is only emitted when the KIX application sync points, that's possible. And there's an advanced section when configuring the adapter within the tooling to specify whether you want to do that. And so what happens is, as an application executes, there may be one or more event capture points which would normally which result in events being raised, but KIX will actually then wait for the application sync points before then processing and emitting those events on the system. And this allows you, in essence, to say that if the application rolls back instead of sync pointing, KIX will automatically remove those events and not process them and not emit them. So in essence, according to whether the transaction completes or not, will depend whether the events raised by the execution of that application being emitted or not. So that's an actual option within the event adapter when creating the event specification. So on page 71, there are options to specify the priority of the messages, and all messages of high priority will be emitted from the system before messages of normal priority. And you can specify other things to do with the adapter, such as the user ID that the adapter runs under, the transaction ID that it runs under, etc. And that can be used for accounting if you want to account the processing time for these adapters to certain parts of the business. Or indeed you want to monitor or trace using transaction IDs. Then you can do that. Okay, so looking at the event finding editor then on page 75. So the event finding editor then is the place where you create these event specifications create or place them into bundles that can be then loaded onto the mainframe and then deployed. So the event finding editor is part of the KIX Explorer, and as such, it's based on Eclipse and has many capabilities and features by an event specification, and then you can put in some information, for example, just the business information, and then you can save that, and then at a later stage, open up that event specification and add more information, so you can build it up over time, and the system will report if there are any particular errors of fields as you type them in, and so on. So it's a very flexible editor. So on page 77 is the Kix Explorer, a screenshot of the Kix Explorer, and on the top right you will notice that there is a resource perspective. So the Explorer has two main perspectives. One is the SM perspective, where you're used to seeing all the Kix resources. There is a new perspective called the resource perspective. So once you click on that, on the left-hand side you will see several projects coming up there, and one of those will be, or you could create new projects there that will be containing your event specification. We go to page 79. There is, you'll see an ordering patterns project has been created, and within that project there is an ordering patterns.evbind file, and that is our event binding file. So on the right hand side, when you double click on the evbind file, there is an editor that is displayed that allows you to put in information such as the description, user tags, and then you can start to create new event specifications within this event binding file. So on page 81 is a screenshot which shows the specifications tab showing, and on the towards the top right you can see the name of this event specification is order dispatch, and below that you can see what business information is required when this event is raised within the Kix environment. So this is the information that the business person wants to see on their dashboard, for example, or to be processed. So on page 83, within this specification, if we look at the capture point, you'll see here that what we're interested in is an exec-kix link. When a link program is executed, this is the capture point that we then want to process. So on page 85, once you specify the capture point, you can then go ahead and specify other things such as the filter data, such as in this case the transaction ID has to equal EGUI, and the program name has to be DFH0XVDF in order for this capture point to meet its criteria. And then you can start to specify other things such as the program, what program name and what channels are to be captured. On page 87, it's just showing some more predicates filled in. So this is saying, in this case, it's going to be a file control command, and we're saying that the file should equal exmpcat, and that there is certain data that we want to check on. We want to check that the from data on this command at offset 53 length 4 is less than a value of 24, and that the from value at offset 57 for a length of 3 equals 0. So if all of these filters are met, then that is the point at which Kix says this is an event that needs to be 9 is the information sources, so this is where you can specify the how the data that the business person wants is related to this specific capture point. So, for example, the customer name could be extracted as text with a format length of 8, and it comes from, in this case, the COM area, and it's extracted at offset 94 for, again, a length of 8. So you can start to relate this particular capture point's data with the event business data that the business person wants emitted from this event. So on page 91, there's a number of screenshots here which in essence show that you can import language structures and then select certain fields within the language structure to relate the data that you want to capture to the business items that are to be emitted from this event. So looking at page 93, we then have an adapter tab, which is where you can configure the adapter or configure which adapter should be called when this event is raised in the Kix environment. So you can start to configure information that is provided to the adapter. For example, the queue name. So this, in this case, it's the WebCRM queue adapter. And then we can specify the queue name, which this event should be placed onto, the persistence value that the MQ put is used with, expiry information about this message, the format of the message, the dispatching priority, etc. So for different adapters, you will have different configuration that you can specify. So this is a very easy way in which you can describe how the event should be processed in the Kix environment and emitted, and then different event bindings can have different adapters. So it's a very flexible environment, and it means the configuration is mostly within the event binding file, so that as this event binding file is installed in different Kix regions, the configuration is already supplied as part of the event binding. There's no other configuration that's necessary. So if we look at page 95, when deploying an event bundle, event binding, the Kix Explorer has the ability to export the bundle file. As I mentioned, the event binding is placed into a Kix bundle, and the Explorer can then export the Kix bundle to the file system on the mainframe. And once that bundle is on the file system, you can then create a bundle resource definition. And when you create that definition, you will specify where the location of that bundle is on the file system. And then when you install that bundle resource, Kix will then automatically find out which files are part of that bundle and then go ahead and start to install, in this case, event bindings that were in the bundle. Okay, so if we look at page 97, I really just put some information here about how you could customize Kix, which I'm not going to go through in detail, but I thought was perhaps useful summary to think about when looking at the event binding or event processing support in Kix. So you can have custom adapter. You could write your own transactions which will consume these events. So after they've been raised and placed on on an internal queue within the Kix environment. Kix can the event binding specification can then specify that a custom adapter is called to process this event. You could then write this transaction yourself, or it may be supplied by a vendor or third party. And then you could decide to do whatever you like with the event. So the event is passed to you in a set of containers, you can read the Kix documentation as to the container names and the formatting of the data within those, such that you can process the events being raised in whichever manner you like. So on page 100, it's just giving you some information about the kind of context data that is passed to your adapter if you wish to write a custom adapter. And also, the Kix provided adapters also process this information. So they'll be passed, for example, things like the business event name, the specification, the event binding information, like the event binding name and user tag and capture specification name, etc. So it's really up to the adapters to decide, depending on the format and what they want to do, how to process this information. The Kix provided adapters place this in context information within the event and pass them automatically onto WebSphere Business Events or WebSphere Business Monitor. But if you're writing your own custom adapter, you can decide to do whatever you like with this information. Okay, so just moving on to page 103, enabling and disabling events. So once you've actually installed the bundle, which it contains event bindings, the Kix system would automatically start raising or monitoring for events and processing them. If you wish, you can actually set the event processing to be enabled or disabled as a large switch, as it were. So you can turn off all event processing or turn it back on in an easy fashion. So if there were particular issues or problems that needed diagnosing, this is a mechanism of being able to turn it on, do some monitoring, see what's going on, and then potentially turn it off again. But generally, you would just keep it turned on by default. On page 105, you can use SPI commands called inquire capture spec to find out which capture points and bindings have been installed in the Kix environment, and we expect people to use the Kix Explorer or CPSM to process or to find out this sort of information. So this information is not available in CMT, but you can use Explorer and CPSM to drill down into the bundles that have been installed, and then if you drill into those, it'll tell you which capture specs and so on have been installed from those. So on page 107, one thing to think about when looking at the event processing support in Kix is that you need to think about where in your application your event capture points are. You know, can they be found in certain programs? And if you have good documentation and all your source code, then you could well use your existing source code management library to find out those sorts of things. But if you wanted to observe from the runtime point of view which programs are executing, to perhaps discover which points may be of interest to monitor for events, then you can use products like Kick's Interdependency Analyzer, and that you know, will be able to relate which programs were called by which transactions, and relate other resources, for example, which files did those programs use, and then that'll perhaps give you a hint as to how you can best describe in the event specification editor the capture points that you're really interested in. You know, is it when a Kix program is started? Is it when a Kix file is modified, etc.? So on page 109, there are other products such as IBM WebSphere Studio Asset Analyzer, and that product is available and to really scan and analyze source code, including COBOL. And you can obviously then search for various usages of files or data within the programs that, again, could provide some insight as to where the capture points of interest are in your application. So really, just to summarize then, on page 111, the Kix support for event processing is really designed to allow you in a non-invasive way to emit events from your business applications, really when you're typically when your applications are making interesting business decisions without needing to change your application. There is a new API command, signal event, which may help you to narrow down more precisely where an event should occur and what data is relevant to that event. So you can decide whether to use non-invasive or a signal event API, or perhaps a combination of both in different applications. The Event Binding Editor then is a tooling provided with the Kix Explorer to create event specifications, and those event specifications are then placed inside a Kix bundle and then installed in the Kix environment. And that the events produced by Kix can be emitted to lots of different environments, but we do provide adapters that are, if you like, pre-configured for formatting and emitting events for products like WebSphere Business Events and WebSphere Business Monitor. But if you really did want to customize it, then you could do so by writing your own adapters. And on page 113, there are additional references, both in the announcement letter, the information center has lots more information, and there are some YouTube sites as well. So I'd like to now hand back to the operator.
Thank you, Mark. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live question and answer session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Again, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Please vote now. One moment, please. Question 2. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, what was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 3. Do you think you will use this new capability? If in 6 months, press star 1. If in 12 months, press star 2. If in 18 months, press star 3. Again, do you think that you will use this new capability? If in 6 months, press star 1. If in 12 months, press star 2. If in 18 months, press star 3. Please vote now. Question 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Again, we hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Please vote now. One moment, please. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Again, to ask your question, please press the star key followed by the 1 digit on your telephone at this time. And at this time, I will turn the call over to our speaker while we wait for questions.
Hello, this is Mark Coffey here. I have a collection of our senior developers for this exciting sort of event processing technology we have in KixForce version 4.1 with me in Hursley. So if you do have questions, please let us know and we'll try our best to help.
And sir, at this time I'm showing that we have no questions. I'm sorry, we do have one that just came up. Kathy Terry, your line is open.
Hi, everybody. I thought you might want to let everybody know the support for WBE with prior versions of Kix, just so everybody will know that.
Like okay, yes. Just to summarize then, the capability we've been talking about today is provided in Kix version 4.1. We do have a support pack which is provided for Kix transaction server version 3.1 and 3.2, which you can download. Does anybody here remember the number? Okay, we can't just remember the number of hands, but if you go to the Kix support pack download site and look for WebSphere business events, you will find it there.
Great, I'm sure that will be helpful.
Okay.
And at this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn it back to you, sir, for closing comments.
Okay, yes, just thank you to everyone for listening to this webcast. If you do have any further questions after the call, please email my email address is at the front of the presentation, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Otherwise, thank you for attending.